Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show. Host Green Diva Meg and sidekick Green Dude Scott share resources and ideas for green living as they explore fun and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green. And now, your hosts, Green Diva Meg and Green Dude Scott.
Yay for me, sidekick guy, with my green tights and a little mask.
Well, you know, you get lucky because none of the other Green Diva co-hosts are around, so you're really like, you know, you're more than a sidekick tonight.
I'm more than a sidekick every night.
I know. I'm teasing. Oh, there goes my mic.
Ha, ha, ha. The evil, like, guy, you know, shut off your mic.
Okay, I'm back.
See, because I really want to be, you know, in charge here, so I sabotaged you, Mike.
Yeah, thanks. Okay. Well, listen, we have a big show. Did you notice the pile of things
paper?
I handed you?
Yes.
Sorry about
very
the paper.
You.
Well, you know, Mr. Who Can't Get His Email Now.
Yeah, I can.
Yeah. No, well, I'm not going to whine about that, but wanted to make sure that we had all our...
Hello. Oh, look, there's Green Diva Meg.
Yeah. So anyway, you're on with the Green Divas and Green Dude Scott. That's Green Diva Meg, Silent Jesse, and...
You just said it.
You're chewing.
And green.
You're chewing.
Can you hear me chew?
Yeah.
You can?
Back off with that thing. Listen, we have a very full show tonight. No more screwing around. We've got Green Diva correspondent Dr. Heather Eves from the Washington, D.C. area. She'll be calling in as she's traveling. I think she's in Colonial Williamsburg.
What?
Yeah?
As opposed to modern Williamsburg.
Wait, who is?
Dr. Heather Eves.
Oh.
So she's traveling.
Keep up here, Scott.
She's on the road. I know. Poor Scotty. He's on the road, too. Our interview guest, we have a special, another special. We always give John Volker a little more time because he's just full of great information, and he's just coming off the New York Auto Show. So our favorite green car dude, John Volker, senior editor of High Gear Media.
What's the phone number for the studio?
908-362-6622.
Call in now.
Why?
What? Oh, no, that Lisa was asking.
Oh, Lisa, sister Lisa. I'm going to mention, good night, Uncle Buggy, good music. I was going to mention our online partners because they're really doing a great job of helping get the podcast out so people can learn about us and learn about what we're doing. We've got care2.com, ecoseed.org, eatdrinkbetter.com, feelgoodstyle.com, I hope I got them all, but really I'm feeling good about their love, and we're having lots of new listeners and a lot of people participating. Do you know how many people ended up participating on that poll last week for the green funeral? Seriously. But okay. what's most interesting and what I kept posting was the comments people were making. We got over 132 votes about green funerals. The question was, have you considered an earth-friendly green burial, and I should have said funeral, for yourself or your loved one?
Yeah, it doesn't have to be the burial itself. You can
right,
be traditional,
because, well,
but when it comes
burial,
to flowers...
Burial is one thing, cremation's another, and there was a lot of banter about those things.
Right.
But anyway, the majority of people, 73 votes came in for don't know enough about it, but I really want to learn more. But I was impressed with 54 people who chimed in that they definitely already had plans for a green funeral. And there was really only 5 people out of 132 that said, I don't think so. But the comments were really fun. One of my favorite comments was, I'm definitely interested in this, just not yet. Right? I thought that was great.
Yeah, it's not rush things, but I tell you, planning is it's important to have an idea of what you want to do.
So it's a lot of fun. We're getting some interactivity with folks on these polls and Facebook, and thank you so much, folks, for finding us on Facebook and interacting with us. It helps things. I think it helps us learn, and we want to learn more about what people want to hear about and learn about. And gosh, there's so many wonderful things people are doing that we're learning about.
True.
They have opportunity to tell us about it.
But I have to tell you what's on a lot of people's minds tonight.
Oh, no.
The price of gasoline.
Oh, well, yeah, that's it. Well, did you see the poll that I put out Did you?
I'm just angry about the cost. And I understand that here in the States, we pay considerably less than rest of the world, at least parts of the States. But, you know, we went through this in the 80s or the late 70s.
Yeah, and I remember
that. And it's time now to really think about it. I mean, we're still buying SUVs left and right.
Yeah, well, that was the poll.
Need it.
Is that Lisa? Oh, let's get Green Diva Lisa on the air. She's got a few minutes.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, y'all. What happened to that?
Green Diva sister.
Hey, y'all. Greetings from Austin.
Yay.
Yay, you made it.
I made it down. It was, you know, there are over a million acres of Texas that are on fire.
I know. I was thinking about that.
And it's actually beautiful right now, but it's been, I guess, pretty hot. And ironically, on the drive down here, all the rivers that I drove past were full and muddy and overflowing from so much water that they've all had. So it's really, really quite a trip.
Well, it is Earth Week. I just want to say that out loud because I know we're going to kind of get sidetracked, and I've got a bunch of stuff to talk about, but... it is Earth Week, and, you know, we're sorry Austin or Texas is burning.
A good part of
it. Yeah, sorry about that. Sorry, Mama.
It's just crazy weather everywhere. Last week it was snowing in South Dakota.
Right. Which
really?
Isn't that unusual, but it's the time of year. I mean,
this time of year.
Climate change, not global warming. Climate change.
Climate change.
That's right.
Yeah, it's hard.
Well, I miss being in the studio this week. And I love the lineup that you have. Now I have a special question that I want to ask. I want you guys to ask John Volker for me.
I have it written down, but you can say it out loud.
Hey, Echo.
And that is, please ask him about green RVs. I'm so curious and ready to know who's doing what in the RV world in terms of alternative car stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, RV being a recreational vehicle and whether you have to get a biodiesel truck to pull an Airstream or whether you have a self-propelled one with an engine that's a biodiesel, whatever. Yeah, I'll definitely check that out.
And it may not just be alternative fuel. Maybe there's electric. Maybe there's, you know, the kinds of things that they're doing with cars now. So I'm very curious to hear if she knows what's going on in that part of the world.
Oh, I bet it'll be one of the more... obscure questions he gets.
I hope so.
Yeah,
my job.
I've never heard anybody ask about a green RV before.
Okay, but let me
tell
you something. There's a lot of things that we do here that, I mean, a lot of people out there do, they hobbies that takes fuel.
Oh, yeah.
And as this
that's right.
The cost continues to skyrocket, those activities are going to start curtailing. I mean... Mm-hmm. Flying.
And, of course, that was another thing I noticed on my road was all the different prices in gasoline everywhere.
Yeah, right, as you went.
Different states have different prices, and, you know, it's up to almost, I think I saw $4.99 in one of the at one of the gas stations.
It's $4.25 in Connecticut right now.
Oh, really? That's the best. Good.
There was a $4.99 last night. There was a $4.99. I don't know if it's Connecticut or New York on the news.
Oh, I wouldn't.
I think I paid $3.69 here in Austin a couple days ago, yesterday.
So, what are you going to do for Earth Day down there in Austin?
Put out a fire.
Yeah.
I haven't quite figured out what I'm going to do for Earth Day. You know, the first. Yeah, I think I talked about the first Earth Day where my friend Jennifer and I. Cut school and went into New York, and they closed the roads down. And it was a huge event that happened. I can hardly remember it. But
you little
again,
rebel, you.
That's what they say. If you were there, you don't remember.
Yeah, probably.
Well, I'll let you get back to all your list of great things that you have to talk about, and I'm just sorry I'm not sitting there with you.
Although yeah, well,
I am
we miss
by
you.
The pool here in my... at my friend's house,
with
a blue sky and probably 75-degree weather.
Oh yeah, and we didn't have time to tell everybody in the last show when we were doing music. We talked about your film Before the Music Dies, and you were going to let everybody know that they can find it on Hulu.com.
Right, the documentary Before the Music Dies can be found on Hulu.com. So I highly recommend checking it out because you can watch it for free then. And I also want to remind everybody to check in on Facebook to the Green Divas radio show.
Oh, you are so good.
The Green Divas on Facebook.
It's Green Divas radio show.
I'm confused.
I know. I know.
The Green Divas radio show. Please check in on it. Like us. Help us build our numbers. And we'll be able to reach more people.
I like that I can rely on you to do the shameless plugging even remotely.
It's not shameless, Ms. Yeah. Meg.
I love it.
It is
I love it.
It's letting people know where to find us.
It's fun. I know. Thank you.
A gigantic fan base.
Thank you.
Gosh darn it, you like us.
I know. Yeah, what was that?
You really like us.
Really, really like us.
Have a great show. I love you all. Don't ever change.
All right. Thanks, Miss Texas. Bye-bye. Don't burn up.
Bye. Take care.
Yeah, I've got this list. You see this list of stuff?
The list?
For Earth Day. Can I just say something about Earth Day before we even get close to the list?
Okay, go ahead. I was going to say something, but go ahead. It's your show.
Thank you.
Good thing I'm not on camera.
I know. The eye rolling. My God, your eyes are going to pop out of your freaking head from all the rolling. But I don't know why, but I think it's great that more and more people are becoming aware, and it's becoming more and more of a big thing. And I think every Earth Day, there's a little bit more enlightenment and a little bit more awareness that gets out to the masses. But I guess it's just irritating to me, and I'm not sure if that's just...
Now, hold on a second. What's irritating to you?
The commercialization of Earth Day. You know,
yeah, I know, but don't you understand it's necessary?
I know it's a good thing.
Okay.
I just have to say it out loud that... I got like 700 press releases in the last week about cool gadgets and things, and somebody is doing this giveaway.
But you understand why.
I think it's all good, but I honestly just want to go outside and be quiet and hang out with, you know, a tree. And I mean, seriously,
With a tree, you can do that any day.
A couple of the things that I have picked out for my list of Earth Day things to do, and one of them was the picnic that
Yes, and I grumbled about that, too.
Yeah, I like the idea of just going out.
Well, pick up after yourself if you're out there doing it.
But one of the things is step away from Facebook.
Yeah. So how is that going to really...
Because you turn off your computer and you go outside.
Okay.
I think that's a
really good idea. So how many 16-year-olds, how long will that be?
I don't care.
I turned it off. Can I turn it back on now?
Yeah, fine.
Yeah, seriously.
That's fine. That's all it takes.
No, I was talking to a friend over last week, and we talked about how... the neighborhood looked when we were kids. It was kids running around all day long, dirty feet, just having a great time. But I tell you, in recent years, when I have been out there driving through the neighborhoods on a summer day.
Yeah, nobody, hello.
It's an abandoned street. It's where are all the kids?
Yeah, no one's out there.
Yeah. Get outside.
I know.
Get some fresh air
and
sunshine.
That's kind of where I'm, you know, that's what I'm...
You're going to go hug a tree.
...all about. Well... I don't know, but I tend to want to just bring around the concept.
Lisa
of,
says every day should be Earth Day.
And she's right. And so I guess
to some extent or another,
part of me, like watching Universal is Green or whatever. Green is Universal all week on NBC, and every time you turn on the television.
Well, it's what people, you know, the polls that have been done, the studies that have been done, everybody can agree that we need to be greener. Right,
we need to be more
a little more sustainable
and conscientious about what we're doing.
Nobody can argue that point.
Yeah,
the issue is the comfort level at which people are willing to be green. Because as we know, we've had people on here that are very, very green, but people are like, I'm not doing that.
Right, I'm not going off the grid and having chickens and goats in the backyard.
But we don't need people to do that, and that's why we've talked about this so many times on the show. We're not asking people to give up their lifestyles, but just be a little more thoughtful in their daily lives about what they are doing.
It is amazing once you start doing something different and you realize what an impact it has, and it's not that difficult, you're like, oh, okay, this really isn't so tough. And then it's hard not to. Like now, I cannot leave the water running for any reason. It makes me crazy. You know, because I know too much. I've read too much, and I can't wait to do
that show on water because the percentage of
potable
water. We've only been
talking about it for a year. I think
percentage of potable water is very, very small.
Oh, it's going to be the next dangerous resource blight.
Great, and let me tell you, without water, you're screwed.
Yeah, I know. If you think it's bad without oil, check it out
this
without
Dr.
water.
This is Dr. Heather Eves.
This is Dr. Heather Eves.
Dr. Heather Eves. One of my best friends ever.
Dr. Heather.
Yes, ma'am.
There she is.
Oh, I'm so glad you took the time to call in. You kind of got screwed out of the last show. I'm sorry.
That's all right. I was flying in from Brussels, so it was okay.
Yeah. Dr. Eves is our favorite world traveling.
Yes, she is.
Green mama. I liked that you were talking about by email when we were corresponding, that you checked out, and I can't remember the link, you'll tell me. You checked out your personal and your household's footprint, and if it weren't for the world travel, you'd be really, really good. But even with the world travel, you know, she really
also... Lower than average.
Yeah.
Lower than average, she said. But that was with 15 one-way flights of more than 5 or 6 hours each, which accounts for my husband and I flying overseas to Africa 2 to 3 to 4 times each a year.
Right, but it's very important stuff that you're doing.
Yes.
So somebody has to go.
Trying, yes.
Well, trying's better than most.
Well, conservation and saving elephants, I think, is worth a few carbon, you know, outputs.
Yeah, so I'll be going back. He just got back from Gabon with just that very issue on the plate where they discovered a bunch of elephants that had been poached.
Oh.
And I'm heading over to East Africa next month, June rather, to look at further issues with bushmeat.
Wow. Okay, well, you'll keep us posted about that. And if you have... an article or a short article or a post that you want to make, we'll put it on the Green Divas blog.
Okay.
It out there. Yeah. So
you're
traveling now. You called a little while ago and you were frustrated by the anti-sustainable world you're in at the moment.
Yeah. Well, I'm having a I'm in a location which it's been a long time since I had to eat off styrofoam, and I'm a little overwhelmed. I'm a little overwhelmed by the throwaway and the lack of opportunity to recycle. So I think my objective following this educational trip for my kids is going to be to reach out to the leadership here and see if I can offer services or try to connect them with those that are focused on sustainable enterprise, because this is the wave of the future. And big companies, some of the biggest companies in the world today, are really working very hard.
Well, you know, the NRDC...
Cradle.
The NRDC does a lot of consulting with, you know, large, organizations and event places and whatnot. And they have a lot of people like you, doctors, scientists, people that work for them. You should contact the NRDC and see...
There is no doubt that I will... After this trip, I will be reaching out to see what kind of positive changes and support can be offered to this. It's a wonderful location, a place a lot of Americans go to, but I really feel like, you know, we have to keep our eyes and our ears open whenever we go out and pay attention to, you know, I brought water bottles for the kids, and we refill our water bottles, our stainless steel stuff here, and I'm doing everything I can to minimize the impact, but it's a lot, and the messaging is not what it needs to be for our future, for our children.
Yeah, and Scott and I were just talking about once you know what you know, it's hard, like styrofoam. You know, it's very hard for me to drink out of a styrofoam cup now because it just represents so much.
Evilness.
Yes.
Evil, yeah.
Yes, yes, exactly.
It's like leaving the water faucet on. I can't do that, and I can't watch anybody else do it anymore.
No, I got us down to, we're having a good time having sort of a competition, and we're down to 10-minute showers. And it's doable, you know, it's doable, and it's fun. It's a family, how we can improve. And like I said, the website you mentioned that I was suggested to look at through one of my other networks was called lowimpactliving.com.
Right,
and
okay.
It has a very user-friendly interface for figuring out your home usage of lots of different resources, and then it kind of a scale in the code area with where you fit in to the average house. So, yes, we did quite surprisingly, I thought we were not going to do as well because usually the international travel knocks us off the charts. But we're working at it, and we're working at it every day, and we're finding something every day that we can change. So,
well, you're really just such an inspiration to me. I try to keep up with you on Facebook, and I get exhausted, you know.
You know, we have this gift on this planet, and we have this gift of moment in time in our human life history where we have all this knowledge, we have lots of technology, we have lots of opportunities, we have lots of history to draw from, and I think we can make a change, but it's really going to take every person out there to realize that they are part of the solution, and it's going to take action by everybody, and that's... But I think we're going to get there. I do. I have faith.
I know we will with folks like you out there. Thanks so much for all your hard work and passion about this and for taking the time out to call us on your vacation. Thank the kids
yeah,
for us.
These don't happen often. But I will also call. What I can send to you is the thing that I submitted to European Parliament last month, which summarizes solutions to this big wildlife issue that I deal with.
Well, so. I'd be happy to post that and share it and you know, with reference to you and everything else that's necessary.
Okay. Yeah, no, we'll be, and I'll be presenting next in June. I'll be presenting as well in Kenya and Tanzania. So we'll see.
All right, doll, you're going in and out, so we'll hang up for now, but we'll keep in touch.
All right, take care.
Thanks, Heather.
Bye.
Bye, dear.
Bye-bye. Bye.
10 ways your kids can celebrate Earth Day.
Didn't you like that?
Yeah, I
written
love it.
By an 11-year-old.
Well, you know, I tell you, kids are smart. I mean, let me tell you, the next generation, these kids that are coming up now, they've been seeing all this, and they're smart, and they're really starting to realize that they need to make a change. So I see it happening. More by the younger generation, unfortunately, but it's got to start somewhere.
You're reading about Mia, the 11-year-old.
Yes, Mia.
Obviously just, she's like a little Dr. Heather Eves, very busy, very passionate, and making this a priority in her busy little world.
Shorter showers for a young girl
to
say that.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
I know, she mentioned that. I thought that was great.
That is true. Or, you know, shower, whatever. I mean, there's no reason why not. I mean, come on. Wear all green. Okay, and
what
don't
do
wash it. I'm reading down the list. Carpool to and from school with your friends. Take the bus and make sure that your bus company uses, you know, biodiesel.
I like this. Try giving up meat for the day and eat only vegetarian foods. And there are statistics that I can't rattle off the top of my head. I'm terrible at that. But I know that there are statistics that if we just reduce.
But you know what? You know what's amazing?
A vegetarian. Just reduce your
meat. You know what's amazing,
though,
that is you always can say statistics.
Statistics.
Say it again.
Statistics.
So anyways,
no, but if you just reduce your meat intake, it has an enormous impact on the environment. And I wish I could say the
come
statistic.
On, it's not hard. It's really when you think
I don't
through,
think
take
so.
A few minutes to think about it.
Yeah, you don't have to
local
be vegetarian.
Food.
Just like go for a day, you know, go back to the Catholic thing or
yeah,
something.
And the same thing there is eat local. Find your local farm stands, especially in the summer, and buy local fruits and vegetables from them.
For like a thousand reasons, it's a good thing.
Oh, for
thing
so
to
many
do.
Reasons.
Turn off the TV and go outside and play. See?
You ain't kidding.
She's giving us that advice at 11 years old.
Well,
you gotta love this kid. We gotta have her on the show. Sure. I like check out your local library. When was the last time you went into a library? Me? Not in a long
3
time.
3 days ago.
I'm very sad. Really?
New place, new library card, and it's amazing.
Oh,
oh
that's
my God,
because that's your internet
library.
Access now, right?
No, but I have to tell you, you know, there's. So I've been in libraries recently where, I mean, they're barely staffed. They've cut their hours because of, you know, books are available in so many other places.
She recommends the Dr. Seuss book, The Lorax, which really is such a great story.
And how? And when was that written?
Yeah, right. I don't know, 70s, sorry, right? 1970 something. Yeah, when I was, you know, a gleam. In my mama's eye.
Gleam. All right, go continue down your list.
I'm blah, blah, blah. I'm reading here. Visit your local zoo or aquarium. I like that because you get an appreciation for animals. You know, some zoos are a little disturbing to me.
Your big sister's saying that this should be posted.
Wow. Yeah.
Was she always bossy when she was a big sister?
Yeah, she was. Mia, by the way, is a host of a website called treeliving.com. And Jesse will post that on our playlist here, but I think we will probably on Facebook make a reference to treeliving.com so people can find Mia. And she's a remarkable young lady. So that's just one of the things on my list.
What do you think about zoos?
Well, I don't know.
I don't like them.
I'm not very
Never
a
seen
fan.
A happy zoo animal.
Yeah,
never, ever.
They always seem a little depressed. You see this beautiful, regal lion lying there with his tongue hanging out, bored out of his mind. Probably depressed. I mean, do they put these animals on Prozac now? I don't know.
Well, of course they do, because all the pharmaceutical companies will sell you everything for anything that you could possibly be ailing from.
Do you remember the farm that was out here somewhere in Sussex County? It was horrifying. What was the name of it? You know what I'm talking about?
Well, tell me why it was horrifying. What was the matter?
Because, well, the last time and it was like 20 years ago, I took my kids. I was all excited. They were all little. And there was this bear, this beautiful, like, Kodiak, gigantic.
Kodiak?
Big bear. Not one of our little black bear buds.
Right.
It was a big, gigantic.
He wouldn't be local.
Grizzly. And, or Kodiak. And anyway, he was like in this wire cage on a slab of cement, and that was it. Like, there was nothing. It was just him on a slab of cement, basically with a rock. And I cried. I actually took the kids
what
home.
Else was
I just
at
cried.
That zoo?
I don't remember anything but that, because it was so disturbing to me.
I don't like zoos for just that reason, and they have endeavored to make the environments as animal friendly as possible.
But how about that woman that got killed by the orca, the whale that she was training?
Oh, well, that was like Waterworld.
Yeah.
You know what it was.
Same thing. These are animals that are being asked to perform an entertainment in some way.
Yeah, I know, but it was the nature of the animal. I mean, she's a snack.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. You know, you want to play with the animals like that and
well,
you know.
Yeah. I mean, but isn't that indicative of, oh, I don't know. It's sort of like, who was the magician guy who got attacked by his own tiger?
Oh, the white lion?
Yeah.
The white tiger?
His own white tiger.
The brothers? Friends?
I don't think
friends.
Brothers,
they were very good friends. Partners.
Yeah. Yeah, let's get clear. But at any rate, yeah, his own lion kind of flipped out on him. His own tiger.
Yes. But, I mean, again, you're dealing with animals that, I mean, they're not that far. Well, I mean, okay, the dog.
400-pound tiger.
Okay, well, look at family dogs. Yeah, I mean,
even they can get
They have been bred to the point where they're not their wolf ancestry. I mean, they are just their domicile, you know.
Boy, we really went off the trail on the whole...
we just started talking about zoos and visit your local zoo, which...
Well...
They may have activities that will help you appreciate the natural world.
I have not, and it's probably an interesting thing to research, but to research some local zoos and find out, or regional zoos, and find out which ones are really, really making an effort, not only on the behalf of the animals, but on the behalf of the environment. And the environment that the animals come from. But I worry that someday that will be the only way that we'll get to see certain animals.
That's our population series that we're going to be doing next year or later this year.
Oh, right.
On population and human population and what it's doing to the planet. And I think you'll be surprised when I get all the numbers together. There's a huge shift going on, and I think that a lot of us in this part of the world recognize it and see it, but the population shift doesn't necessarily mean a population explosion.
Yeah.
So we will discuss those numbers. It's actually, I was
you
very
did
surprised.
That last year,
I was very surprised about how the numbers are playing out. And yes, it means changes for many people and stresses on resources, but the stress on resources is occurring no matter what the population does. So,
well, because we're a busy, greedy population. So what else? What's the good news? What's some of the good news? I love this. Retrievo.com. And honestly, I got to open it up. But they're inviting people to step away from Facebook, which I just thought that was a clever little... It's a gimmick, but it's a good one. The concept being, you know, step away from your computer and your electronic gadgets and your cell phones and just go outside. And they have a green gadget guide that explains what makes some gadgets green.
Oh, well, there's so many that are claiming to be green today that are no, they're not. I mean, they just want that label because they know that people consider that when they do purchase.
That's
so the government's trying to crack down on
that. Retrievo.com.
What?
Retrievo.com. What else? What else did I want to talk about? I have all kinds of stuff. You know, we will be interviewing, because plastic is another one of those things that now, like, I can't deal with plastic bags from the grocery store anymore, because the thought... Remember we did the interview with Andy Keller, the bag monster, from Chico Bags?
And you're not kidding. And I have to tell you, I have the reusable bags and not always good about using them. But I really think that the grocery stores need to do a couple things. Now, I've seen grocery stores where you can return your plastic bags to the store. And that just needs to be a little more, that needs to be up front and center a little bit more, I think, in some grocery stores.
Some of them are recycling. Now, King's, where I go, they have plastic bags that are made from some kind of biodegradable,
And they tear as soon as you put something in them.
Yeah, you know.
But
they're better. And
there's got to be a better alternative. I mean, why did they get away from the brown paper? That was great for covering books in school, remember?
Yeah.
And other things, and making Halloween masks and stuff. But
so one of the books that I got to review is called Plastic, A Toxic Love Story. We are going to be interviewing the author of that, I think in June. Susan Frenkel, and you know, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. Frenkel.
Do I have that list?
Frenkel. Yeah, you have it here somewhere. But at any rate, they're doing an honor of Earth Day, in that publication. I guess the publisher is running an Earth Day plastic-free prize pack sweepstakes. And I think plastic is such a big issue, and I went through it in February when I tried to do the plastic-free February and failed miserably.
That's because everything.
Right, you can't. But the awareness thing, so I think it's a great thing to promote right now and help people become more conscientious about the use and abuse of plastic. Because we're not going to be able to not use it. I think there's like an abuse, you know? Anyway, the prize pack includes one copy of the book, Plastic, A Toxic Love Story, by Susan Frenkel, and one June 15 canvas tote, one Plastic Pollution Coalition reusable water bottle. Wow, it's a mouthful. And one stainless steel oval bento lunchbox. Those are kind of cool.
Oval?
Yeah. An oval bento lunchbox. And one stainless steel airtight, watertight food storage container. Wait a minute. And yet, there's more. Stainless steel hot meal container. One square airtight glass container with stainless steel lid. Wow, that's cool. And one rebinder professional recycled binder.
And this is what we're giving away to our number
God,
one.
Oh my God, this whole thing, we've got to, I want to participate. One rebinder, what was the other one? Replay recycled cardboard CD case. And one rewrite recycled notebook. Oh,
okay,
my gosh. That's a heck of a package there. Anyway, this I'm going to post this again on Facebook in a minute or two. So people can definitely check that out. I don't know how you win that, but I'm gonna try, because I'm curious about some of that stuff. Especially, see, I use glass containers for all my food now,
right,
but they all have plastic lids.
Okay, what else would you use to cover them?
She's got one here that's got a stainless steel lid. I'm curious about.
But how does it seal?
I don't know. I want to find out.
Plastic wrap.
I'm going to find out. I know.
How about make less food? I mean, somebody
make less food.
No, seriously, now, why leftovers?
Well, it's because sometimes some of us are busy and we cook a big meal during the week and then eat it all week long.
I understand, and this is probably John, so I'll say it quickly. But people, be a little more cognizant of how you're preparing your food and how much you're making, because we do throw away an awful lot of food. And if you are going to throw away food, you know, consider composting, okay? Because you're going to need it for your garden. And composting is amazing. It works very well.
Yes.
Okay, John's on.
Hello, John.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good. It's been a bit of a marathon, but
I bet.
The auto show is over, and we're now sort of trying to assess what it all meant.
Oh, boy.
Yes, so distilling the information.
Have you even, what was the theme this year?
For New York, this was a very practical show. Very few plug-ins, very few concepts. This was largely about production vehicles with better fuel economy. It's almost a price of entry now, better fuel economy than the preceding model, while having the same or more room, more features, better infotainment, etc. But unlike Detroit, which is really the international show, where everybody brought out their best concepts and their most advanced powertrains, New York was really about the production cars that we're going to drive. And in some ways, it was kind of overshadowed. I don't know how many people know this, but due to what I guess they'd call a regrettable circumstance of scheduling, the New York show essentially overlapped what has become one of the most important global shows in the world. So any ideas what that might be?
Is it Germany?
Not the right point on the calendar, but good try.
Okay.
Shanghai.
Oh, really?
Okay, well, I could see that.
The Shanghai Auto Show is where, if you compete, sadly, in the auto world between New York and Shanghai, Shanghai wins.
Really?
Because North America is a maintenance market. We're essentially replacing the cars that wear out. Any growth that we have in the North American car market comes from population growth, a few percentage points every decade. In China, the auto market surpassed the U.S. market 2 years ago. The U.S. market, let's say, is at 11 or 12 million cars now, might get to a level of 14 million. In China, they bought 18 million cars last year, and projections are that they may buy 40 million by 2020.
Holy wow.
Well, now, not for nothing, we are not the global leader of much of anything anymore, so don't get too excited.
Yeah.
Well,
it's an adjustment that the auto industry has made very rapidly. I don't know if you saw the news. China is concerned that, I'm not sure if it's that the economy is getting overheated, but that there's too much visible luxury. So the Chinese government, whichever agency deals with advertising, has decreed that, in fact, words like luxury and class and prestigious and elite are all illegal to use in your advertising.
Really?
Yep.
Wow, that is... Well, you're just full of all kinds of information I would never have thought to ask about tonight.
Well, it's the wonderful thing about the car industry, because on one level, it's this sort of base consumer product, like a really big, expensive toaster that
right.
you expect certain things out of.
And that you have to plug in.
Yeah.
And on the other side, it's this example of who we are in society. We say something about where we stand, what we value, you know, the kinds of people that we and our families are by the choice of car we buy.
Absolutely.
And in China, where one out of every two new car buyers doesn't know how to drive when they buy the car.
I'm holding back the jokes.
That's
okay,
encouraging.
Go ahead.
Yeah, because you know what? They will learn.
Oh, yeah.
Big bumpers.
I found out today, side note, Ferrari has a how-to-drive school in China, because if you are that lucky, wealthy Chinese industrialist or businessman or entrepreneur or local or state government official,
yeah, right,
whose first car is a Ferrari, you may need to learn how to drive. And if your car is a Ferrari, they're happy to teach you how to drive.
Yeah.
In any event,
I hope so.
Shanghai and New York overlapped.
Oh, no.
And Shanghai got a lot of the global debuts that might in past decades have come to New York. So
who would have thought that that Shanghai would have trumped New York in a show?
I'm not surprised at all.
Really?
Not at all.
Oh, Scott, you're so full of beans.
No, seriously, I'm not. I'm telling you, we are not the global leader of much of anything.
Well,
right
okay,
now.
There's that. So why didn't you go to Shanghai, John?
Well, there is that little issue of I live in New York, and as a startup media company, our travel budget isn't necessarily going to accommodate that.
Aww.
But more importantly, everything that was touted in New York can be bought in the U.S. market, where
right.
I'm going to assume actually most of your listening audience lives. Not all necessarily, but most.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The nice thing is, because it was a practical show, these were the cars that we'll actually see on the roads and end up buying. So there were six kind of volume introductions. On the midsize, you had the Chevrolet Malibu,
yeah.
which actually was shared with Shanghai, but it's their first global Chevy Malibu.
Hmm.
I mean, what an American brand, right?
Right.
You know, Malibu,
is that a hybrid?
Place in L.A. where the stars live. It's not a hybrid, but they do have an eco model.
Yeah, that's like, what I heard.
Yeah, just like they do on the Cruise, that has the grille shutters, a number of other tweaks to get the mileage higher. The thing is, though, again, you have to make a special effort to order the highest mileage model. And there are people who say that's kind of cheating. There are other people who say, look, it costs more to put this equipment on. If you want it, you should have to order it.
Really?
Nonetheless, it is a global Malibu, the first one, and it is a competitive midsize car, which in and of itself is kind of a triumph for General Motors.
And now, what's the price range on that one? That's an affordable midsize car, right?
That's very much an affordable midsize car. In the States, they will price it against its toughest competition, which frankly is the Honda Accord, the to some extent, the Ford Fusion, the Toyota Camry, and increasingly, the Hyundai Sonata.
That's
the midsize market for you these days.
Okay.
And unlike previous generations, this Malibu looks to be a stylish competitor, and it's, you know, it will be in the ballpark. There are a lot of people who are yet to be won over. There's an enormous amount of GM took tax dollars, I'm never buying a GM car again sentiment. I think that will fade over time.
Yeah.
But,
didn't GM pay back the tax dollars now?
Well,
or is that Ford?
Ford is the one that didn't take tax money.
Oh,
GM and Chrysler both went bankrupt, got restructured by the government, and the federal government would like to get out of the business of owning car companies as quickly as possible.
Yeah,
but
yeah, it's not very good. Not very good investment.
They will get back all but a fraction of what they put in. If you recall back to the late 70s, the government actually made money when it rescued Chrysler the first time. The books are yet to be written, but, and I am not a stock advisor, but these are now viable companies.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They are actually making money at much reduced volumes. The Stephen Ratner and Co. got rid of much of the bad and legacy management decisions, etc. So GM and Chrysler, well, GM is clearly a viable global company. Chrysler and Fiat yet to be determined. Outside the scope of this show, probably.
Right.
But the Malibu is a global competitor, and it is a viable midsize choice. Going down a segment, one of the sort of major parts of American culture in the compact class, the Honda Civic.
Right.
Yeah. You know, Honda was the first maker to open a transplant here. They've been manufacturing cars in North America for, I'm not sure if it's 30 years, but it's really close.
Yep.
And they are now on their ninth generation of Honda Civic. The new model is an evolution from the old one. You'll recognize it as a Honda Civic. Much better infotainment inside and better mileage. But what I like about the Honda in particular, they are actually advertising five separate models. So you've got the regular four-door sedan, right?
Right.
You've got the two-door SI Coupe. That's the hot rod. But then they have three different green alternatives beyond that. They have what they call the Civic HS, which is a higher mileage gasoline model, better aerodynamics, a number of other little tweaks, not very much more money. That's kind of their standard gasoline but higher mileage model.
And what does the mileage on? What is the mileage on the higher that one?
They are, oh boy.
And what are they claiming anyway?
Well, and that's the thing. I want to wait until the EPA gives out its estimates, because Honda actually admitted to us at the preview that they had projected one thing and they didn't quite make it. So
okay.
That's the case where I want to pull back and wait for the EPA to render its verdicts.
Okay.
I can speak to the next model, though, which is the Honda Civic Hybrid.
Okay.
Now in its third generation, very familiar. My bet is you know people who own them or people on this show own them.
Right.
This one, they do actually have the ratings. It came out at 44 miles a gallon city,
wow.
44 miles a gallon highway, 44 miles a gallon combined.
Okay, I saw that. I saw that posted. How can that possibly be?
This is their first hybrid that uses a lithium-ion battery pack,
Right. And
it's a lighter pack, more power density, and they've evolved their system. You know, each generation, they do a new system. I drove the car, and it does exactly what Honda hybrids do, but a little bit better, which is to say you can't move the car solely on electricity from a stop.
Right.
But, you know, they can have a smaller motor. It's just 1.5 liters, and they actually use the electric motor to kick in torque. And, you know, 44 miles a gallon is a pretty good number.
That's really good. And you never see that city and highway.
Yeah.
Yeah, and how does that compare to the Prius, which, you know, is
the
obviously...
Prius, the Prius is 51 city, 48 highway, 50 combined.
So right. It's still...
But again, 6 miles a gallon at that level...
Yeah.
Remember my lecture from the last time I was on the show? The amount of gasoline that you save between 44 and 50 miles a gallon is essentially pennies.
Right.
It's not really. It might be a dollar every 100 miles, but it's not that much compared to making that same 6 mile a gallon jump from 14 to 20 or 10 to 16.
Absolutely. And, of course, that's on everybody's minds today with the ridiculous price of gas.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Which John called like a couple of months back.
Did.
Or you, John, I quoted you.
Well, and there's the Honda, I give them credit. They have a fifth model as well. They are going to expand greatly the sales of the natural gas-powered Honda Civic.
Oh, yeah.
It's now going to be called the Honda Civic Natural Gas, cumbersome but descriptive. And I test drove the previous generation last fall. You would, from behind the driver's seat, you would never know that you're not running in a gas car. No difference. Same performance, same good handling, et cetera, et cetera. There's only two things that differentiate it, besides going to a different filling station. Number one is you lose two-thirds of your trunk space because they have behind a wall in the trunk, they have the natural gas cylinder that holds the actual fuel compressed. And the second thing is the range. You only get maybe 180 miles on natural gas for that same amount.
Huh.
Which is, you know, if you drive decently or if you have the high mileage version, that's maybe half of what you're going to get in the regular car. And on a hot day, it goes down even further.
Oh, that's weird. And I remember I drove one and was introduced to one in like 2007, I think. But the problem was is New Jersey, for instance, doesn't allow these. There's no, I don't know, maybe it's changed since then. But I thought, well, then, okay, so it's one thing if I lived in New York, but if I had to drive to New Jersey, I'm in trouble.
You know, it's interesting. I actually asked about that because I had understood that you couldn't bring compressed natural gas through the tunnels.
Right.
Well, there are warnings, right?
Well, and in fact, they said, no, for cars, you know, this is different than an entire tanker truck of compressed natural gas.
Right.
But in fact, you can bring the cars through. So they're
good.
Usable. What they're doing is rolling it out over time in the states that that produce natural gas and that do have public or privately usable filling stations for natural gas. I filled mine up in L.A. right opposite the airport. And, I mean, it's essentially the same pump procedure, different fittings. The pump in California, if you don't have a code, makes you go through a little safety video first, which I forget that. But they've been selling about 2,000 of these a year. For 10 years. And again, give Honda credit. They've stuck with it.
Well, but the safety issue. See, my first instinct is, oh, geez, you know, natural gas is... You know,
they have to go through exactly the same safety tests and crash tests as any other car. And we do have tens of thousands of gasoline fires in cars every year.
Yeah, they don't.
We've normalized gasoline and its risks, right?
Yeah.
Well, I love your article about the Volt, the fire, the man with the garage burned up, and they blamed the Volt.
Yeah. That was good.
You know, electric car conversions, unless they're done by car makers, like, General Motors or Ford or Nissan or Toyota or any of those guys, you know, if you take a car that was designed for gasoline and you convert it to electricity yourself, you are simply running a higher risk of something going wrong because you have not done the hundreds of thousands of miles of testing that all the car makers have to do.
Right.
So, in any event, so that was the Honda Civic.
Now, wait a minute. Okay. I just want to, at some point, you took time to help us do this poll, which we've gotten a lot of
Tell me what the results were, because I've been out at the show till I ran back here. Tell me what the results were.
Well, first of all, I'm going to read it out so people know if they haven't gone to our Facebook page. And John helped put this together, and I edited a little bit because I can't help myself. But the question was, is the price of gas prompting you to consider buying a greener car? If so, what are you most likely to get? And the first option was a gasoline-engined compact car that gets more. Oh, I can't see the whole. Oh, gets more than 30 miles per gallon.
30. Okay, got it.
And then the next one is a clean diesel car that gets more. Oh, my glasses stink. Hold on. Oh, my God.
You and me both.
Gets more than 30 miles to the gallon. The next one was the Toyota Prius, which gets 50 miles to the gallon. I added another car manufacturer's hybrid because there's lots of other hybrids other than the Toyota at this point. And then a plug-in like the Nissan Leaf or Chevy Volt or 2012 Toyota Prius plug-in.
Right.
And then, of course, the last one was none of the above, or I don't own a car. Now, I just have to tell you, I think Toyota should, pay us a commission or something for this.
Yeah, sure.
Well, that was the biggest. They got the most votes.
The Prius.
The Prius did,
yep.
And I was the first one to vote, and that's where I go. I'm kind of got my heart set on a Prius, but I sit on the edge of my seat and I'm like listening and
okay.
I'm to you
so
and reading.
My question is, what did the poll reveal? Because I bet most people would like a gasoline engine because that's what they have faith in, that
okay.
they're experienced with.
So far, and I just want there's 43 votes in, which isn't
yeah,
bad,
a short
but
time.
But yeah, it's only a day. Wait till this thing hits Care2 and these other sites we're on. It gets really crazy.
Right.
But so far, 5 votes for the gasoline engine, 5 votes for clean diesel.
Oh, yeah. There are a lot of diesel fans out there.
Yeah,
and diesel's gotten so much better.
For people who want distances, it's a viable alternative.
My first car was a Dasher diesel station
and
wagon.
And it had a dirty butt, I bet you.
Oh, my.
It did.
That's
it
all
did.
Gone. It doesn't happen anymore.
And it couldn't
anymore.
Go uphill with the air conditioning on, but that's another story. So the Toyota Prius was 14 votes. Another car manufacturer's hybrid was 4 votes. Plug-in, like the Nissan Leaf or Chevy, got 7 votes.
Yeah.
And 9 votes for none of the above or I don't drive a car. Now, there are also a lot of comments, some of which were pretty hilarious, which I just want to, if I can get my glasses to function here.
Oh, do you want me to come look at it? You.
I know. It's bad, Scott. It's bad. I should have thought about that. Oh, my God. There are some very funny little comments in here and some really thoughtful ones. One of our friends over in Europe says, I use public transportation here in Europe, which,
Well, let me tell you, that's where public transportation is just...
Yeah, because
great.
Their gas is $9 a
no
gallon.
Kidding. Right. And we're headed that way.
I love this one guy, Brian Hennessy, who's a friend of ours, a friend of the show's. He says, a new pair of sneakers, a broad smile, mountain bike, and a green thumb. And then there's folks, who are really candid. My car is black, but if I leave it in the sun long enough, it goes green. Seriously, I drive a large SUV for work, and I'm looking for a hybrid or diesel next time, which is good. I don't know if you probably, John, weren't able to go in and see some of the comments.
I today was a busy day.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. No. Well, and those results... Pretty much, obviously, hybrids are the biggest category. There's some interest in plug-ins, although there's still an unknown quantity for a lot of people. And there are some people who are on the trailing end and who are essentially, I'll do the best, but I'm not going to pioneer a new technology. I want to wait for it to be proven. I want to wait till it gets into the mainstream. I think your poll was pretty representative of where the car market
is. I'm actually pretty surprised that gasoline and clean diesel were tied at 5 each and 9 came in for the plug-in.
Yep.
Yeah. Plug-ins have a certain attraction to them because there is a part of people that likes being freed from gasoline. If you can plug in the car at night at home, if you have a garage or some other charging arrangement,
right.
In theory, depending on how you drive and whether your car has a gasoline range extender, you may never need to go to the gas station. And, an all-electric car with no gas range extender is not a practical first car for many people.
Right.
But, the average American household has more than 2 cars. The average affluent American household has more than 3.
Wow.
So a plug-in becomes the third car, and people... electric drive is kind of seductive. There's no gears, there's no engine noise rising and falling. It's a smoother experience. It's torquey. You get great response off the stoplight.
Really?
And after a while, people just like you plug in your phone. How often have you forgotten to plug in your phone? Once or twice, but not very much.
Yeah, it's brutal when you do.
Yeah, and you know, and the car will remind you to plug it in.
Really?
Through messages to your phone.
Oh, wow, that's slick.
And so you get used to plugging in the car. It charges itself when there's cheap power at night. And all of a sudden, people sort of get into this. It's pleasant to drive. It's relatively quiet. I've gotten over the range anxiety. You know, no, I'm not going to drive it from here to Kansas on a whim. But
you could.
Around the, you know, around the neighborhood, what I end up doing 95% of the time, it's perfectly good. And I haven't been to a gas station in this car in months.
See, that is seductive to me because I just would love to get off the whole. Now, you know, then you got to deal with your electric, make sure that your electric is as clean as possible, and that's a whole other issue.
But still,
we've talked about
even
that.
If it's,
it's still dirty
electric. And think about this. 3 to 8 cents a mile on electricity. 8 cents of electricity, even in an expensive area, will drive you a mile.
Really?
Not
that's
bad.
Yeah, come on. Come on, people. That's awesome. I've got to drive one of these things. There's one in my area, and I see it once in a while, a red Chevy Volt, and I just want to run them down and flag them down and say, please let me play with your car.
You carjack the Volt.
I know. Carjack. Isn't that awful?
Yeah. Now, well, and my bet is that they are Volt. If they're this early in the process, they are more than happy to talk to you about it.
They probably
the
get
early
a lot of
Volt buyers are real advocates.
Yeah. Now, before we go away, Green Diva Lisa couldn't be here tonight, but she had a very specific question, which we wanted to ask you, and that is about green RVs. And I thought, I wonder how much he's gotten. See? I told you.
No one has ever asked. Tell Lisa no one has ever asked me that question.
I knew that was going to be a weird one for you, but we figured you'd be the guy.
So the same principles apply, which is to say, get the smallest engine that does the job if there's an engine option. If you have the large RVs, many of them are built on adapted truck chassis or commercial chassis, and many of those have diesel engines.
Right.
So that will be relatively more economical than a gasoline engine of the same power, especially if, like RV owners, what you do is essentially drive on the highway or the interstate from place to place and then leave it parked.
Right.
You know, RV owners, the real dedicated sort of travelers in RVs, they don't go grocery shopping in the RV, whether they have bikes or they park
right.
at camps that
right.
have shuttles or whatever it may be, many arrangements.
Yeah.
But, so an alternative for that might be to try to burn biodiesel.
Right. That's what I was thinking.
Find biodiesel. You know, I can't speak to the carbon profile of not maintaining a home and taking your home with you powered by a diesel engine.
Right.
So I don't know how that matches out. But certainly you are carrying a lot of weight in just about the most unaerodynamic package.
Even in an Airstream, yeah.
They have the aerodynamics of a small community hospital.
That's a good one.
That is funny. I've always had this fantasy about getting in an Airstream and driving across country doing like the Green Diva tour.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you sell your house and don't have that footprint,
I guess,
then it could be, it's still worse.
It's still pretty rough, yeah.
It really is.
All right. Well, maybe they'll come up with an electric truck, but, you know, we'll have to wait on that.
Certain types of electric trucks, like your UPS trucks, what they call urban fleets, that are back to base, which means they go back every night to the same central depot, because there you can plug them all in overnight. There's an argument that says that 5 to 8 years from now, for those guys, the UPS trucks, the Pepsi delivery trucks, all of those guys who are just in the city doing stop and go all the time,
right.
5 to 8 years from now, you may never see a new diesel-powered one, because the payback
cool.
on electric is there
yeah.
now.
Well, I could talk about this stuff all night, John. I'm so glad you took the time to call. Lots of fun stuff. And everybody, John is senior editor of High Gear Media and frequently, obviously, all over greencarreports.com.
Bingo.
And we can find him all over the media, and we're so glad he takes the time to talk to us.
And we'll make sure that link's on our site.
Yes, we will. Thanks, John.
Thank you for
take
having
care, John.
Me, as always.
All right, rest up.
Take care.
After all this work and all these shows.
Wow.
We burned up an hour pretty fast, and we still didn't even get to all the fun green Earth Day stuff. But next week, please check out our schedule on the website. But next week, we have Graham Hill, the founder of treehugger.com.
And I won't be here.
Oh, you won't be here, but I will be here, and I will have a guest green diva. So stay tuned. Have a great green week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Green Divas Radio Hour. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, follow them on Facebook and Twitter, and don't forget to visit thegreendivas.com.